We are at the peak of the flu season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I'm fine.
Yeah,
well, good for you.
Yeah, like recently our team has been missing some key members.
Yes, let's have a moment of solidarity for them. Okay, moment over.
Yes, now we're back. Yes, hospitals and health clinics nationwide have seen increasing number of flu patients, including little kids. However, a grade A tertiary hospital in Tianjin City recently announced that it had to stop offering medical service to children because all of the pediatricians, that's the child doctors, were sick. So how severe is this shortage of child doctors in China right now?
Well, a most vivid portrait of the situation is a photo posted on Weibo, presumably by a parent of a sick child. And the Weibo is in the photo, there's an announcement by Tianjin Hehai He Hospital made on January the 7th, and the announcement said the hospital had to stop offering medical service to children because all of these doctors were sick, and the hospital had no idea when it could start to treat children again, and recommended patients to go to the pediatric department in nearby hospitals. And this photo, the message in the announcement, was verified by a person in charge of the hospital, and who said there were only three pediatricians in the hospital. And after China enters the peak season for flu this winter, every pediatrician had to treat over 60 young patients during one shift. And unfortunately, one of them was sick and had to be hospitalized since last December, which made the situation even worse because the other two would have to take no leaves and have to continue work overtime, and they also fell sick.
Yeah, wow. First of all, you know, for anybody that, how do I know? I feel like I've just seen kids, and of course been one. In many ways, people still call me a kid.
Yes.
On the inside.
Oh.
But I don't act like this anymore, I promise. Anyways, you know, kids put everything in their mouth. Instead of like trying to touch it and stuff, they're like, what is this? The only way I'm going to find out is if I put it in my mouth. And this is a kid's logic. So kids are getting sick. And the thing is, kids are pretty resilient, though, right? They're young. Their bodies are really good at fighting things. As far as I know, this could be just all poppycock. But this is what I thought was common knowledge is, you know, kids can fight off a lot of different things. They recover fast. So if they do get sick, you know, because they're constantly putting things in their mouth, the immune system's really strong. So if something does get to them, man, it's going to be a strong strain of influenza, which we'll talk about here soon. So, you know, these kids are basically where these kind of flus sometimes are seen to start. Yet these pediatricians are on the front line.
Yes.
Battling these strains. And they're severely outgunned. I mean, we're seeing new records in the number of patients in children's hospitals in many Chinese cities and provinces, including Beijing, Hebei, Shaanxi, Zhejiang, and Tianjin. To give you guys a kind of example of how this affects maybe a parent and a kid, I guess a mother interviewed by the China News Service said she made an appointment at midnight and came to the hospital at 6 a.m., the kid finally started to have an intravenous drip, that is an IV, in the afternoon. So getting there at 6 a.m. But in the afternoon, this kid is getting kind of some medical attention. And the kid was, I guess, lucky to be able to receive the treatment he got in this big hospital, he or she got. Also, too, for the doctors, I guess a hospital in Wenzhou, Zhejiang Province, had canceled the lunch break and two-day weekends since December 23rd for so many doctors. It also added a night shift as well. I guess now all staff in the hospital had to support the pediatric department and work around the clock. But still, even with this kind of effort, many kids at this hospital still had to wait for like 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah, and 6 and 7 hours isn't too bad, apparently, because there is simply so many patients, and as long as you get treated within a day, then that's considered a pretty good situation, as there is simply not enough medical attention that seems to can be immediately devoted to these kids. And it's not just the kids. It's including the adults that are being taken down by the flu right now.
And even the doctors.
Even the doctors. No one's safe.
How serious is this flu season attack that we're in the midst right now?
There's certainly been a number of outbreaks, a lot more than last year. A recent China Daily report said the mainland recorded 326 flu outbreaks in the last week of 2017, with no deaths reported, the latest data from the Chinese National Influenza Center show. And in comparison, 42 flu outbreaks were reported during the last week of 2016, according to figures released earlier by the center. And I think, speaking personally, I think last year when I came back from the States, I was immediately stricken by a strain of influenza, and I was taken to the hospital. I see 20 or 40 people queuing up to get treatment, and I think that was bad. And now it seems it's even worse than that.
Yeah, you know, again, data from the Beijing Center for Diseases Prevention and Control showed that the number of flu outbreaks, kind of like what Lai Ming had just said, has increased by 48.75% in the last week of 2017. Remember, Lai Ming had just compared the last week of 2016, those 42 flu outbreaks, with the last week in 2017, which saw 326 flu outbreaks. So whether or not you're traveling or whatever, this seems to be a problem, and I want to talk about that. But before I do, I want to quickly say what the flu is. Okay, so flu is, I think, short for influenza. And these symptoms for influenza include a fever, runny nose, sore throat, aches and pains, headache, coughing, and feeling tired. Guys, these typically begin 2 days after exposure to the virus. So actually, when you're feeling it, you got it 2 days before. And most last less than a week. But I've heard these current strains are lasting about a week. They're pretty bad. But here's what I want to say is, according to Feng Zujin, deputy head of the Chinese Center for Disease Control and Prevention, they said that the dominant flu strain this winter is called B. Yamagata. So that's the name of the strain, B. Yamagata, which had been prevalent for many years. And this is kind of a big reason why it's taken us by storm, is because the current flu vaccines in China right now that we have are maybe for more common strains of flu we often see here in China. Though, as Lai Ming had said, maybe in different parts of the world, different strains are more active, so maybe that's why you had gotten sick. But the kind of flu vaccines in China, you can understand, they go after three strains, the H1N1, the H3N2, and the B. Victoria. But the thing that's really crazy about this one, and I think the reason why doctors are falling victim to it as well as people all over the place, is it was one that was kind of common in the past, but it's been gone for a while, so our immune systems haven't kind of had exposure to it for a long time.
Yeah, and recent announcement from the National Health and Family Planning Commission said that this is the worst flu season we've had in the last 3 years, to say the least. So, yeah, this is affecting a lot of people.
Be careful, folks.
Yeah, and it just seems like the little kiddos are really suffering
little
from it.
Little monsters.
Yeah. When they're sick and, you know, the little ones are coughing with the runny nose and the whole family is in chaos. Oh. Apparently.
Or in bed.
Yeah, but the adults need to take care of the kids no matter what, right?
Yeah, unless they're sick. Yeah. Kids bounce back quick, but sometimes adults take some time.
And it seems like recently for Chinese families, it's common to see this busy scene.
Yeah.
You need three adults to look after one sick child and to take him or her to the hospital. One's parking the car, one's keeping the child
company.
And making sure he's or she's not running around and all that, and another one's running around the hospital to get all the paperwork done, to all that stuff. So let's look at this busy scene in the hospital, or maybe hospitals can't even afford to have child patients anymore.
Well, because there's a lack of pediatricians in China, and the situation is rather intense. Statistics from the National Health and Family Planning Commission show that children below 14 take up 20% of the total population in China, but there were only 99 special hospitals for children, which is less than, which is about 0.01% of all medical institutions in the country. And in 2014, there's an average of 2.12 people having a license of practicing physician in every 1,000 Chinese. That's already bad. But even worse is that there are only 0.53 pediatrician for every 1,000 children. So the percentage or the coverage rate is rather low.
Yeah, and so, guys, keep this in mind as well. You know, in the U.S., we have a far smaller population, but here's something that really paints the picture. There's a lack of 200,000 pediatricians in China compared to the U.S. I don't think our 20% of our population is kids under the age of 14 as well. So, I mean, because I've heard the U.S. just isn't having as many kids as it used to. Maybe I'm wrong. But, of course, even without that being the case, we see that there's more pediatricians for a country with far less of a population, maybe far less of a need. And, guys, what's really scary is on top of that, data from the Pediatrics Committee of the Chinese Medical Association showed two pediatricians will quit in every hospital every year in average, the 2015 Statistics Yearbook of China's Health and Family Planning showed the number of pediatricians dropped by 16% in 2014 compared to that in 2013. So the drops are real. We're seeing the percentages in double digit from 2013 to 2014, and we're seeing every hospital yearly lose two pediatricians, and then boom, we have a really bad flu season. Kids are the front line of where these flus are breaking out, and there's not enough doctors to help these kids.
Yes, and it's interesting, Ryan, you bring this up, that it seems to be a dire situation when you see a shortage in the first place and pediatricians are quitting. So why is it that we're losing these child doctors, and what else are they doing if they leave their job?
Well, for one thing, they're not making enough money as they expect to make, because, well, based on the traditional structure of how hospitals are arranged, I mean, each doctors are supposed to be sponsored by the other medical costs that patients incur while they are in the hospital. But for pediatricians, when they're treating children, they don't necessarily prescribe a lot of medicines because, well, kids are small. They don't need that amount of drugs. Mm-hmm. Also, they don't necessarily use a lot of examinations. So the amount of money they can make for each hospital is small. Therefore, they're making a lot less than average doctors.
Right. So first of all, compared to other fields of medicine, we're seeing this not be the most lucrative. But this is kind of hypocritical of us as a society, because I think most parents will tell you the most important thing in their life is their kid. Also making this job so high risk. These doctors aren't just dealing with somebody else's life, but often a parent's child's life. And so in which case, if you fail this kid, if you make their situation worse, you're not dealing with an angry kid. You're dealing with two angry parents, possibly a whole family, ready to ruin your life. And maybe, you know, you're just a human being. So you're like, oh, this makes my choice easy. I'm doing a different field of medicine. Boom. Also, guys, something to keep in mind, you know, Lai Ming had said that it's hard to kind of service a kid. Many times doctors complain that, you know, these kids, they have trouble talking about their symptoms clearly. So it's hard to diagnose a child. It's a harder field of medicine in that term as well. One other thing I think is interesting is maybe you can ask teachers, right? I've had a lot of friends that have become teachers, and I say, you know, why did you teach high school? And they're like, well, you know, I love teaching, just like maybe a doctor loves serving people medically. But I don't want to teach young kids. They're crazy. They run around. This requires a level of patience I don't have. Certain people are very patient and good with kids. So you can apply that mentality to the field of medicine. Some doctors just don't have the patience to stop that kid from running around, you know, to be able to give the shot to the kid when he's screaming and yelling. And this is their day in, day out. Yeah. It's kind of nerve-wracking. It takes a special kind of person, and bless those people's souls because we need them, but not necessarily making the choice of pediatrician easy for all doctors. Also, too, as I understand, some people will attribute the decreasing number of pediatricians to, I guess, a university major adjustment that happened in 1998 here in China. And this is a big deal because I guess there have been very little to no students recruited in the field of pediatrics since 1999. So basically what I'm saying here is for people that maybe like my sister, she really wanted to be a pediatrician all her life. So, you know, maybe if she was growing up in China, she has this dream of being a pediatrician. But she doesn't see the obvious education way of education. So she chooses a different field of medicine. You know, it's not so easy for maybe somebody who wants to be a pediatrician to see, like, their education plan, how long they're going to go to school. But actually, looking at the real details, guys, on top of there being a lack of pediatricians, I do want to say that it takes at least 11 years to train a pediatrician. So this is something that takes a lot of time. That's 5 years of undergraduate studies, 3 years of graduate studies, and 3 years training in hospitals after graduation. If a student was enrolled in the major of pediatrics in 2014, this means he could only offer medical service to kids in 2025. We're not even there yet. So this is 2014. 3 years ago, if someone started this field, they wouldn't be able to help kids till 2025.
So we are now standing at this generational fault line. So, I mean, based on the discussion we just had, I think we come to the conclusion that it's not an easy job. It's a rather difficult job to be a pediatrician. And it is a job that no experienced doctor would prefer to do. And previously, well, maybe the most convenient way is to have new recruits of that major to go do that. Now, let the new guy do it. That's the norm in many industries. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, well, with this generation, with this major cancellation in universities, we don't have new guys coming in to take that seat.
So, yeah, it seems like we're now experiencing the chilling effect that was set in motion in 1998, taking effect in 1999, as Ryan has cited.
And also, it's a systemic problem.
So, yes, we don't see new talent coming in to take up the new
job. We do see since 2016 as well, more people, more couples having additional kids.
So now you get couples more kids, needing more doctors, but very limited fresh blood that goes into the profession. Oh, that's a pickle.
Yeah, you know, there's been some solutions people have looked towards in the past, but haven't necessarily fixed this problem. And, you know, looking at this, in doing our research, I was trying to think of some solutions. First of all, as Lai Ming had said so brilliantly, this isn't lucrative of a field of medicine for a doctor to choose. And many doctors, I think their jobs are stressful. You know, they have to do some serious life-saving, some serious diagnosis. They're playing a pivotal role in people's lives. They deserve to be kind of rewarded as such. And in fact, I have a family friend to paint a picture. Mm-hmm. He's an ER doctor, and at first he didn't get paid a lot. Now he makes $400,000 a year being an ER doctor.
That's impressive.
Yeah, but that's because ERs is like, that's the emergency room. That's when you've got a gunshot wound or a stabbing. This is where lives are decided if they're saved or not. Most stressful position probably
it
for、
is.
A doctor. So how do you get the doctors in the positions where they don't want to be? You give them lots of money,、
yeah.
okay? So that's one fix. Also on top of that, you know...Remember when I said this is something that is time intensive to train pediatricians? If you started in 2014, you wouldn't be able to practice till 2025. So China needs a fix now. And I would say maybe to fix the problem now to make sure kids are getting the help they need. Maybe hiring from outside of China. Remember, 200,000、pediatricians more in the U.S. Maybe some of them can come do some work over here and help kids out. That's okay. Also, one other thing too, make the path of education clear and open for these doctors that have a dream of saving the lives of kids.
That is a very powerful speech, and I can't agree with you more,Ryan. And also,、
yeah.
I think you guys have、hit the nail on the head with...The treatment of、doctors, that is a huge issue right now. It's not just pediatricians, but it's doctors、
in general.
In、yeah. general these days. They're doing such a stressful job, and we know there are times when the patient's family might be、in some very severe disputes with、
mm-hmm.
the doctor when、mm-hmm. things don't go accordingly. And it's a situation these days that people are saying that the brightest minds in China do not go into medicine anymore.、Mm-hmm. So is there an immediate fix in some way?
I don't think so. There are, but although there are measures being taken to、mm-hmm. reform the structure whereby doctors are being sponsored, I also think it's very important for authorities to realize how important it is. I mean, the gap is going to expand.Because China is pushing for urbanization process.、Mm. A lot more people are going to swarm into cities、
yeah.
and they're going to have a stronger demand for doctors.
Well said. Well
yes.
said.
So this is one of those really...
It's only getting worse.
Yes, and this needs immediate attention and reform of the medical system to make things better for doctors and patients.